This evening, I'm going to invite you for a few moments to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, which goes right along with our song by Fanny Crosby. Isaiah, chapter 6. I was studying this passage of Scripture and realized that there was something that I had never really noticed myself in this passage. When the Word of God says in verse 8 of Isaiah chapter 6, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Whom will go for us? I always took it that the Lord was directly commissioning Isaiah and calling him. But actually, in this particular passage, somehow Isaiah is overhearing the counsel of God. He's hearing the invitation. And he is overhearing the counsel of God concerning a need for someone to prophesy to Israel. And notice that God didn't say, Isaiah, go for me. Instead, Isaiah heard the need. He recognized it as something that God had prepared for him to do. And as a result of that, he said, Here am I, send me. So you have the concept as we look at Isaiah chapter 6. We could see that he's actually responding to a need. As we take our Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 6, I want us to look at three aspects of this particular portion of Scripture. As it were, a three-dimensional perspective. In verses 1 through 4, we see an upward look. Notice what it says. In the year that King Uzziah died. King Uzziah, in the early part of his reign, did very well. He was under the influence of Zechariah, the faithful prophet. King Uzziah was faithful to Jehovah. He's also called, by the way, King Uzziah is also known as Azariah, king of Judah. He did what was right in the early years according to that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But just like Solomon, there's a warning to every one of us. We can start out right and we can end up very wrong if we're not careful with our walk with God. You know, it's amazing to me as I see and hear as a pastor of cases of senior citizens that have walked with God for decades, deacons, elders in churches up north or wherever. Then they retire, and you know what? They get hooked up on internet pornography. Senior citizens. And it drags them down to the point where it destroys them morally, mentally, and even maritally. It happens. It's not just the young people. You know, Paul said to Timothy, flee youthful lusts. But I have news for you. Unless you've had your head in the sand, it's not the younger generation, the only ones that are falling like flies. I can tell you of case after case of individuals that I've been acquainted with in the villages that lived moral lives, but then they retired in the villages and they're living like hippies now. And immorality is flagrant. It happens. King Uzziah was a man who started out right, but towards the close of his life, he met with destruction. His problem was a heart problem. The Bible says his heart was lifted up to destruction in the Old Testament. He wantonly invaded the priest's office, which was only for the sons of Levi to do so, and entering the sanctuary, he proceeded to offer incense on the golden altar. He was confronted and rebuked by Azariah the high priest, and he was judged by the Lord after 52 years of reigning. The Lord struck him down with leprosy as a result of this act of defiance, pride, and disregard. And think of it, it was entering and intruding into an office that was not his. Some people would say mild compared to some of the things that we read about. Just today, I heard a case of a retired individual that got mixed up with child pornography. Think about that. Now, how long had this been going on? Had it been secret and undiscovered, and now all of a sudden? I don't know, but what I'm telling you is that sin knows no age barriers. And the Bible says, him that thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. And we see women going to jail for it, just like men. And we see cover-up, and we see participation, and we see accomplices, and all of this, and the story goes on. But that's not what we're preaching on, even though I had to touch on that. Because Isaiah is actually using a national tragedy to remind himself of the vision that he had. You do the same thing. If I were to ask you, where were you when JFK got shot? Or where were you when you first heard about 9/11? Virtually every one of you could tell me exactly what you were doing. Where you were when you first heard it. Well, for Isaiah, this tragedy of King Uzziah's death was something that he could hang his thoughts on. And notice, he's looking upward in a time of national tragedy. That's what we need to do. We need to see the Lord in the midst of the national tragedy that we're seeing. You know, it's easy to get discouraged. I told my wife today, I said, you know, I'm listening to the news tonight, and I feel like it's Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood, Miami, all over again when I lived there in the late 70s. Bodies being found in the ditches and the canals. And this is not a good sermon for Northerners, and I don't want to affect tourism industry. But you know what? Crime is ubiquitous, no matter where you are. Up north, no such thing as a small town. Capone and Dillinger, they all look for the small towns. Charles, remember Crown Point, Indiana? Yeah, that's right. So, you see, small towns are as bad as big towns. But the point is, it's the heart of man. But in the midst of terrible tragedy, he sees the Lord high and lifted up. Don't read the newspaper. Read the newspaper through the Bible and realize, be like the sons of Issachar, who know the signs of the times and read with understanding. And you know what? I read the end of the book. We win. Amen? So, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. By the way, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten of the Father, he hath revealed him. According to John chapter 12, verse 41, Isaiah actually saw the pre-incarnate Christ in this passage. And it's interesting that he saw the Lord high and lifted up. See, the Lord alone needs to be exalted. Don't let worry be exalted in your life. Yeah, there's all kinds of problems in your life. I mean, you start listing on paper all of your problems, and you know, you could be ready to slit your wrists, you know? But you know what? How about doing this? Take that column, exit out, and put the Lord is in control. That makes a big difference in our lives, doesn't it? I saw the Lord. I'm not going to focus on what King Uzziah did. I'm not going to focus on everything that's a mess. I'm going to look to the Lord. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. You ever see the train of a bride, the long gown going down the aisleway, and how majestic it is? Well, here it's used of the flowing robes of the Lord's glorious robes in the heavenly temple. You'll notice it goes on to say that in verse 2, above it, above the temple, stood the seraphims. Now, the seraphim, the I am, is the Hebrew plural ending. A seraph is one seraph, one angel. These angels have special access to the direct presence of God. Seraphim, because there are several. And they cry out, notice, the seraphims, each one, had six wings. With two, he covered his face. A picture of the tremendous, resplendent glory that this theophany manifested itself. He covers his eyes. Then the Word of God says he not only covered his face, but with two wings he covered his feet. And then with two he did fly. And he cried, they cried out one to another, "Holy, holy, holy." Now, whenever you have anything repeated in the Scriptures, it's an emphasis that we need to pay attention. The word holy, kadesh, means separated. Separated from anything that is earthly or created. He's totally separated from iniquity. He is totally pure. And Isaiah had his eyes on the Lord. The seraphims reveal this. And they cry out, "Holy, holy, holy." Some people say that we have here a hidden indication of the triunity of God. The Trinity. Found in the very first chapter of Genesis, leaving the door open for the understanding of that. But he sees an upward look. And the Bible says the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. The house was filled with smoke. And in the midst of all of this upward look, we see in verses 5 through 7 that it results in an inward look. You know, one of the problems that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is having today is that we have a wrong view of ourselves because we have a wrong view of the Lord. And a wrong view of ourselves is the result of having a wrong view of the Lord. When we see the holiness of God and recognize that He's not just the man upstairs and some type of a deistic, faraway creature that has nothing to do with our lives, when we see His holiness, we'll see ourselves and our sinfulness. One of the reasons why there are so many people today that are into the health and the wealth and the prosperity gospel and the bloodless sacrifice and works for salvation and all of these things is that we have misunderstood how holy God is. We've lost our view. You see, our North Star begins with the holiness of God and who He is. And there's very little preaching today on the holiness of God. We like to preach on His love. We like to preach on His other attributes. But His holiness is absent. And then, for that reason, we begin looking for other things to satisfy us rather than the Lord. But you know, Isaiah saw his unworthiness. Listen to verses 5 through 7. Circle the word "then." You see, that's a response. Then in verse 6, there's another response. Then, when we see the Lord, we're going to have some thens in our lives. There's going to be results. "Then said I, woe is me. I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." May the Lord give us preaching that reveals the King, the Lord of hosts. and doesn't have its eyes on tickling the ears of men for their own pleasure. You know, Job, when he saw God in all of His majesty, you know what he said? I've heard of You by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees Thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent and dust in dust and ashes. Remember that in Job 42, verses 5 and 6, when he saw the Lord, not just by the hearing of the ear, but by the eyes, then he repented and he abhorred himself. Peter, when he was called, and remember the great catch of fish that authenticated his calling? In Luke chapter 5 and verse 8, he said, "Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinner, a sinful, sinful man." You remember even John on the Isle of Patmos in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17, when he saw the risen Christ in chapter 1, it says, "I fell at His feet as though I were dead." So when we have the upward look, it then results in an inward look, doesn't it? And we see ourselves as lost as we truly are. And this is why when we lead somebody to Christ, we must start with the holiness of God. And then the purpose of the law that He gave, which reveals the holiness and the righteous standards that God has. The law is intended to show us our hopeless condition. And then we introduce them to Christ, who is able to do something about our hopelessness. And we show Him to be the only one who fulfilled that law with perfection. So the upward look results in the inward look. But then the Word of God continues. It says here, then, verse 6, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, "Lo, this hath touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away. Thy sin is purged." And all of this results in another dimension, the outward look. In verses 1 through 4, the upward look, resulting on the inward look, verses 5 through 7. And now in verse 8, the upward look. And here Isaiah overhears the counsel of God concerning a need for someone to respond, someone to take the message to His people. And he didn't say at this particular point in time, "Isaiah, you go." On the contrary, Isaiah heard the need. He recognized it as something that God had prepared for him to do in verse 7. But the response was his. And here is the basis for the missionary emphasis of a hearing heart. And that is this: we have received a commission. We have received spiritual cleansing. We have a story to tell to the nation. We can give people good news instead of all of the bad stuff that they have to hear over and over again. I'm sorry, frankly, that the church seems to focus on a lot of bad news all the time. If we ever do have to give bad news, better present the remedy of the good news, all in the same message. And I'm afraid that we're not getting that across. I think that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, in many cases, is being perceived as legalistic and unloving. And we need to have the grace and the truth, both in balance, both testaments. And even when we're preaching from the old covenant, you bring in the new covenant. because the new covenant is the fulfillment of the old covenant. And we have a completed message that God wants us to give. Let me conclude by saying this, that a willing heart, like Isaiah demonstrated in verse 8, "Here am I, Lord, send me." He said that of his own accord. Sure, God did the preparing. We don't have anything of ourselves to offer. Everything you have is from the Lord. Your gifts, your person, your body, your talents, everything. But the Lord wants you to say, and for me to say, "Here am I, send me." That's the balance between sovereignty and moral responsibility. A willing heart is the first step in finding God's will for your life. You know, it always bothers me when I hear college students say, "Oh, I want to find God's will for my life. I want to find God's will for my life." But you know what? There's no willing heart to serve Him where they are. The first step is a willing heart in finding God's will for your life. God is not going to move an immobile object. Have you ever seen a child? Not long ago, Timmy, Adam's son, my second-born son, my grandson, a picture was taken of him trying to drive the car while Adam was making a hospital call. And I answered back on Facebook, "Brings back old memories." Because Adam, my son, used to do the same thing. I'd be out on hospital calls, and he'd be playing with the steering wheel, waiting for Daddy to come home, and he was making believe he was Daddy driving. But you know, you can play with that steering wheel, but you know, that car is not going to go anywhere until it's moving. We as Christians need to be moving, and the Lord will direct us as we move, you see. Willingness, openness, receptivity, and a listening heart. These are the prerequisites for determining the call in your life. If you want to serve God, immerse yourself in prayer and Bible study. Focus on the Lord and have a hearing heart. And the Lord will speak to your heart and direct your path. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and this brief glimpse of Isaiah and his response to the work of God in his life. And Father, I pray that you would keep us focused on you. Lord, keep us from presumptuous sins and sins, Lord, that would destroy us and our testimony and witness for you. And Lord, help us to stay close to you and to follow you, to listen to the still small voice, "This is the way, walk ye in it." And thank you, Lord, that we can be led by the Spirit of God, even as Isaiah was. Bless us as we go to prayer now, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.